You're kidding. Just one shot?
They're not all zombies, Doug. How do you fight this thing?
Maybe we could drown it in A1 sauce.
Well, sometimes that is better. The person you put up there ain't the person that comes back.
It's dead zone to get down with. About 6 feet under. Get dead.
Ooh, I love this song.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Hello and welcome to episode 183 of the Rotten Views Podcast. We have a really fun one set up for you guys tonight, or today, morning, whatever time it is when you're listening to this podcast. We have a really fun one. Hopefully you guys will enjoy it. Thank you everyone for showing up for another new episode. So if you guys don't know, like if you have this like auto save to download, I appreciate that a lot. It really means a lot to me. But if you did actually click on the episode or this is your first time seeing the episode, you know, we're talking about Tremors from 1990. But before we do get into that, I want to put a little business out in front for everyone. As always, if you guys don't make it to the end of the podcast, I understand. It's fine. Make sure to check out all my social media links down below, all in the description. Pretty much find me on all social media sites at @Typhonsign, pretty much on everything. X, Facebook, we have the art page on there. Instagram, there's TikTok. The main thing that we've been working towards and doing live streams on is YouTube. We've been doing like 5, sometimes even 6 or 7 live streams a week. So I've been keeping up with that, you know, a couple hours here and there. Nothing too drastic or major, but I'm enjoying it a lot. And there's been a lot of new subscribers on the YouTube channel, so I appreciate that. If you guys are here from the YouTube channel, I appreciate you guys checking it out. Some cool stuff on the YouTube channel as well. We have old episodes of the podcast going up. I want to do a live podcast or like a video podcast at some point in time. Not sure when that's going to happen. I got a camera and everything set up, or I'm working on it. I don't really like how the pixels look. It doesn't look as detailed as I want. I want to get like a nice backdrop and everything set up. Maybe a green screen. Who knows? I don't know yet. We'll see how it goes. But there's also a number of shorts on there as well, and art videos as well. So definitely go check that out. We have the community posts. And then of course we drop a new gaming video each and every single Wednesday. So definitely go check those out. They're pretty fun. I've been doing a lot of GTA Online lately and just, you know, doing the money grind and building up businesses and just having fun. That's the main thing that we're doing here. The main thing with the YouTube channel is to just have fun and do something exciting and something new and different. That's a different outlet for creativity. So hopefully you guys will check out that, you know, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, turn on the bell notifications. I appreciate it if you guys did. Now, something else that has happened with the YouTube channel, I know there's probably a lot of creators out there that have it as well, but if you guys do want to get into any like energy drink powders, I definitely highly recommend checking out W Energy. I'll have a link down below as well. But if you guys go to their site and want to buy some stuff at checkout, make sure to use promo code Rotten Reviews to save 10%. Yes, I have, I guess, a sponsorship, I guess you could say. I'm part of their partnership program. I don't know what the technical term is, but, you know, I got a promo code for them. So it's a lifetime promo code for as long as I want to keep it active. So that's pretty cool. So, you know, go buy some W Energy, save a little bit, give me a little bit. You know, it all works out in that. But enough about all that stuff. You know, if this is your first time clicking on this podcast, I appreciate you guys for stopping by. It really means a lot to me. I'm just trying to build a nice community of people. We're going to have a Discord channel up at some point in time. I'm still working on getting some artwork made and set aside for doing like an Etsy shop where I just want to sell original artwork and I want to sell prints. I think just selling like one-off original pieces will be a little bit more incentive for people to buy, because I'm not trying to charge $1 million or anything. I just, you know, I feel like my rates are fair. So hopefully that will be kicked off sometime later this year. Like I said, I want to get a fair amount of pieces set up. Like I said, I'm not doing prints at all. So they're just going to be like one-off prints originals. Why did I say prints? I'm not doing prints. Maybe we'll do some stickers though. I might do some stickers. I think I want to do like a collection of my new series I've been doing, because I have the Danny DeVito stuff, which I want to do those as stickers. But we're also doing wrestlers as Super Mario inspired characters. Well, just that Super Mario pose, essentially. So I did a CM Punk, and I've done a couple Stings, because he just had, at this point in time of this recording, had his retirement match at AEW, so that's pretty cool. He's well deserving of that. He's been wrestling for a long ass time. He's like in his late 60s now, maybe even older. I don't really know, to be honest, but it just makes me feel old because I remember watching him growing up. But that's besides the point. Anyways, I feel like I got off topic there, which happens a lot. So if this is your first episode, get used to this, because there's 181 other episodes just like it. I feel like they've gotten better over time, but I don't really know, to be honest with you. But the original whole point of this whole tangent was, if this is your first episode, just so you know, I talk about a movie from start to finish and hit all the points in between that catch my interest. So if you don't want to be spoiled on a movie that came out in 1990, feel free to pause it now and go find a copy of it. I own the whole box set because I'm just a nerd like that, but you can find it on Amazon and rent it for cheap, I guess. Maybe Apple. I don't really know what it's streaming on, to be honest with you. Like I said, I got it on BoxSet, so I don't need to look that information up, because I'm a great podcast host. Anyways, enough of all that kind of stuff. Let's just jump into the movie at hand. Let's discuss it a little bit before we get into it. This movie has a 7.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 65% on Metacritic. Apparently, 85% of Google users like this movie. Initial release date was January 19th, 1990. Had a box office of 16.7 million and a budget of 10 million, so that's not too bad, right? Made a little bit of profit. So for this movie, the director is Ron Underwood, best known for being the director, of course, for this, from 1990. He was also the director for 1991's City Slickers. He was the director for 1993's Heart and Souls, as well as the director for 1998's Mighty Joe Young. As well, lately, apparently he's done some episodes of The Walking Dead. He directed one episode of Tales of the Walking Dead, but he also did 5 episodes of Fear of the Walking Dead. He's also credited for being one of the writers from the movie as well. And of course, one of the writers for this is S.S. Wilson. For a tie back for last week's episode, he was the writer for 1986 Short Circuit. He was the writer for 1999's Wild Wild West. He's also the writer for 13 episodes of the Tremors TV series, which I still haven't looked into because I completely and utterly totally forgot about it. He also did 2 episodes of Mass from 1985, the animated series, as well as apparently he was the writer for Short Circuit 2 from 1988, as well as worked on the screenplay and story for Ghost Dad from 1990. The other writer credit for this movie is Brent Maddock, who's also credit for being the writer for 1999's Wild Wild West. He also worked on 13 episodes of the Tremors TV show. He was also the writer for Heart and Souls as well from 1993. His last credit was actually Tremors Shrieker Island from 2020. He's also worked on Tremors A Cold Day in Hell, Tremors 5 Bloodlines, Tremors 4 Legend Begins, Tremors 3 Back to Perfection, and Tremors 2 Aftershock. So he's done a lot of Tremors related stuff. He's also worked on Short Circuit 2, as well as did the screenplay for Batteries Not Included, which I think I might have did for the podcast, but I'm not 100% sure on that one either. If I haven't, then you know it's going to be added to the list, because that's a pretty fun movie as well. Then we jump over to the cast, where we have Michael Gross playing Bird. We have Reba McEntire playing Heather, and there's a bunch of other good cast, but we're going to talk about the person who plays Rhonda. We have Finn Carter, who's also apparently been in 109 episodes from 1985 to 1988 of As the World Turns. I remember having, like, being homesick some days from school, and my mom would watch this show if she was home, because you're very into the soap operas at that point in time. I'm not sure why, but you know, I'm not going to judge at all. She's also apparently in 7 episodes of Secret Service Guy. I have no idea what that is. I'm kind of scared to click on the link, so I'm not going to do it. She was also in 1989's How I Got Into College, which I've never even heard of before. Then we're going to jump over to Fred Ward, who's playing Earl, who sadly passed away in 2022. He's best known for being in Shortcuts from 1993, The Right Stuff from 1983, Chain Reaction, as he plays an FBI agent, from 1996. Apparently he was in 2 episodes of True Detectives from 2015, which I already don't remember at all. He was in 2 Guns from 2013. Why did I almost say 1913? I'm tired at this point in time. But the other 2 movies I want to talk about that he was in, I believe I did this one for the podcast. It's from 1985, Remo Unarmed and Dangerous, which was like a kind of like an action spoof movie. As well, I'm going to talk about Miami Blues, which I did for the podcast as well, from 1990, where he was beside Alec Baldwin, I believe, or one of the Baldwin brothers. And he plays like a detective with fake teeth and just looks so goddamn weird the whole goddamn time. And the last person we're going to talk about, of course, is Kevin Bacon, because, you know, I like bacon. I'm Canadian. Of course we like bacon. But he's best known for being in 1984's Footloose, 2000's Hollow Man, 2004 he was in The Woodsman, he was in 2003's Mystic River. He's apparently going to be in The Toxic Avenger from 2023. Wait, we're in 2024 though, so I don't know what they're talking about. Maybe that's the new one that's in pre-production. I don't really know. It was in 45 episodes of the TV show that I really enjoyed, but it was canceled in 2015. The Following, which I thought was really good. We got also mentioned that he was Sebastian Shaw in X-Men First Class, and he was also in Friday the 13th, because, you know, he gets killed there. So, you know, shouldn't have sex, kids. Shouldn't have sex in a haunted, you know, camp area. It's a horror movie. What do you expect? You have sex, you're gonna die. Quick synopsis for this movie. Natives of a small, isolated town defend themselves against strange underground creatures, which are killing them one by one. It's classified as a comedy horror for an hour and 36 minutes. The tagline for this is the monster movie that breaks new ground. Apparently, trivia as well, S.S. Wilson said that he got the idea for the film while he was working for the U.S. Navy in the California desert. While resting on a rock, he imagined what it might be like if something underground kept him from getting off the rock. I mean, it works, you know, it is a creative idea, and it wasn't done before, so give him credit for that one. Anyways, as I said before, we're going to get into the movie at hand now, so if you don't want to be spoiled on, you know, stuff that came out in 1990, feel free to pause this now, you know, go watch the movie if you want to, and come back and listen to the podcast afterwards, hopefully, because we need you here. But if not, feel free to just, you know, sit back, relax, you know. If you had to be at work, just keep the pace moving, keep working, listen to me just to discuss and talk about this movie from start to finish and hit all the interesting points in between. So until then, or till now, I guess, I'm getting ready to talk about this podcast, so I gave you a fair warning, so if you don't complain. Just, you know, just don't complain, okay? I don't want to hear any complaints.
Presents Saturday Night at the Movies, the television series which each week brings you the finest in recent motion pictures. Tonight,
perfection. A scorched outpost in the middle of nowhere.
You know how close I am to leaving this place right now? How close?
Maybe that's why Val and Earl decided to leave town.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Hey, hold up. That's Edgar Deans.
They just picked the wrong day to do it.
Jeez.
You guys better get the hell out of here. There's a killer on the loose.
Who could be doing it?
Is that a snake?
I'll give you boys $5 for this. 20.
That's how they get you. They're under the ground.
Things. How could they eat a whole station wagon?
But where do they come from?
I vote for outer space. No way these are local boys.
You see, they're headed right for us.
No Richter scale can measure it.
They're coming!
No scientist can explain it.
Bert, they're under the ground!
You didn't get penetration even with the elephant gun.
Run, run!
And no one knows what to call it.
Megaworms or suckers or... or suckoids.
Now, this valley is just one long smorgasbord.
Now, it's up to Val and Earl to save the world.
That's one big mother.
Who died and made you Einstein?
And they know just what to do. Flip for it.
Damn.
Kevin Bacon. Fred Ward. Tremors.
We got the movie starting out with that logo that everyone really enjoys seeing. We got that classic Universal MCA company logo coming up. And then we have the Tremors font coming in and the music slowly starting to pick up. I actually enjoy the title font that they use and how it starts to break down. And then we just see like the desert area where we see Kevin Bacon, Valentine McKee, you know, taking a whiz off the cliff as he goes over to wake up Earl, who's sleeping in the back of the truck, played by Fred Ward. Of course, Earl's, you know, just snoring away in the back of the truck, and, you know, Valentine's not really trying to wake him up too hard, but he starts to shake the truck as acting like it's a stampede to scare the shit out of him to wake him up. And then, of course, as he's, you know, jumping on the back of the truck to make Earl wake up, Earl falls out of the back of the truck in his sleeping bag. He's like, "I was in a stampede once, you stupid son of a bitch." And Valentine's like, "So, Earl, like, what's the minimum requirement for, like, a stampede? Is it, like, three or more cows? Like, what are we talking about here?" And then Earl's like, "So, no breakfast?" And Valentine's like, "I did it yesterday. Bologna and beans, don't you remember?" And Earl's like, "Nah, I did eggs." And then they start arguing with each other. He's like, "Nah, no hell. No, I did it. You didn't do it. I did it." So then they have a rock, paper, scissors contest to figure out who's going to make breakfast. And of course, Valentine loses. Like, "Yeah, I guess when I'm your age, I forget what I do the day before too, I guess." And they're qualified as handyman, as Valentine likes to say. Pretty much they just do the bitch work that nobody else actually wants to do around the area. And Valentine's having the hardest time hitting this stake in the top of the fence post to keep the barbed wire from moving. And he like literally wails at like 6 or 7 times before he actually finally hits it. Then we see them driving their truck and they're like, yo, we got plan out for the week. You know, it's already Monday. And I'm already thinking about Wednesday. That's the problem, Valentine. You don't want to do the hard work. We got to do the work now to get paid. He's like, it is Monday, right? And then we see them driving. They're like, hey, isn't that such and such over there? It's like, oh, no way. He's actually being replaced by this girl. So then Valentine takes the truck off road. He's like, you will have long blonde hair, nice face, big boobs. And they show up there and she's got, it's Rhonda, and she's got like her sun hat on. She's got big old sunscreen all over her nose. And Valentine's like, ah, damn it. We find out Rhonda's there to monitor the vibrations in the ground. She's like, has anyone been doing any blasting around here? And Valentine's like, ah, no, ma'am, not around here. No big explosions here at all. She's like, well, it's kind of weird because I've been monitoring and I've been getting some weird signals around here lately. So I'm not sure what the result is from that. It's the tremors. And as they're driving away, Earl's like, so Valentine, if you want, we can check out those seismographo thingies. And he's like, we don't know anything about it. He's like, yeah, well, you know, we might be able to get to know her better. He's like, why? And then Earl's like, you don't like anyone that doesn't fit your actual, you know, protocol, your checklist, and they gotta be a ditzy blonde, and if they're not a ditzy blonde, then you don't like them. And then we see them drive by the City of Perfection sign, which apparently says the population is 14 people. I didn't realize that before at all, but it makes sense because there's not too many people in this town at all. Then we see them showing up to the only store in town that apparently sells everything from food to hollow point rounds, where Bert Gummer, played by Michael Gross, who's like the only one that recurs in, I think, all the movies, he's like, these ones aren't the right hollow point. But thank you anyways, Walter. But I think his name is Miguel. I don't know. Maybe Miguel's a different guy. Actually, yes. The main guy is Walter Chang, played by Victor Wong, who for me is best known playing Egg Shen from 1986, Big Trouble in Little China. He was also Professor Howard Byrick, from Prince of Darkness from 1987. And, you know, he's a grandpa from Three Ninjas, so, you know. You should know that one at least. I think I did that on the podcast. Maybe not. Maybe that's another one I gotta do on the podcast. Then we see Rhonda at her little setup in the desert where she's setting up her seismic meter and whatnot. And we can see from the perspective of something watching her, and then we see the ground starting to move, but she's taking herself back to the truck, and by the time she actually gets in the truck and closes the door, one of the snake pieces comes out of the mouth, but we just hear it hit the door and she starts her truck and drives away because she doesn't hear it all because of how loud the truck is apparently. Then we see Valentine and Earl doing their favorite part of their job, where they're at the like dump area where Earl's driving the bulldozer and Valentine's trying to pick up garbage to move it somewhere else, and all the bags keep breaking on him and he's just not having a good time at all. We see them then sitting down in this like broken car seats, taking drinks out of toilets, be like, you know what, Earl, we gotta set our sights a little bit higher. And then we cut to them setting up a tank for sucking out a septic tank. I'm like, ah, yeah, I guess that's setting your sights a little bit higher, I guess. And then of course Earl and Valentine are arguing because neither one of them wants to be in Perfection, and they both feel like, you know, they're wasting their time in Perfection. And that's when they start, you know, setting up the tank, and then one of the hoses starts leaking and they get black tar all over themselves. I'm assuming it's supposed to be feces, but it looks really like black tar. And then we cut to them, you know, packing up the truck and be like, ah, we're, you know, we're out here. We're done. Then as they're getting ready to leave town, Nancy flags them out. It's like, sorry, Nancy, we're not selling any firewood anymore. We're actually leaving for Bixby for permit. She's like, yeah, sure. And she looks at the back truck. She's like, oh, I guess you guys actually are. You got all your stuff packed, huh? And then Nancy offers them a different job that's going to be like a couple months worth of work. She's going to throw in lunches and beer. And then Valentine looks over and is like, beer, huh? And then next thing we know, we see them driving down the road. They're laughing at each other because they turned down free beer and food. So driving out of town, they see a guy up on a high tower. It's like an electrical tower of some sort for power lines. And Valentine's like, hey, that's Edgar. He wears that same jacket every time. So they stop and the Earl yells out, Edgar, come on, get down there. We'll talk to you. But he's not moving at all. He's just staying up there. And then Valentine's like, oh, shit, we can't leave him up there. He's probably drunk up there and passed out. And then, of course, they do rock, paper, scissors again to see who's going to climb up the tower to get Edgar down. And, of course, Valentine loses the rock, paper, scissors yet again. But then once Valentine gets up there, he notices Edgar is not alive anymore. And he's dead. He's definitely dead. Anyways, then we see them taking Edgar's body back to town where the doctor looks over. And they're like, well, what happened? Did he have a heart attack? He's like, no, hydration. And he's like, that takes a while, doesn't it? Yeah, 3 or 4 days. And Earl's like, so he stayed up there for 3 or 4 days and just died of dehydration? It's like, yeah, I guess so. Then we see this little farmer guy that has, a couple sheep in his little fenced-off area. He's working in the garden area, and the sheep start acting up, and then his scarecrow starts to move, and he looks around all confused, and then we see him get sucked into the ground by the tremors. Sorry, the technical term, but I think is Graboids. Sorry if that offends anyone. And then we see Earl and Valentine driving down the road, passing some construction crews. And that's when they're like, well, what do you think happened? What do you think happened to him? Like, why was he stuck out there? Why weren't they scared of his, you know, Winchester rifle? Like, did they just stay at the bottom of the tower and wait for him to die? And then as they're driving down the road, we come up to that little farm that had the sheep. And they slam on the brakes because they see the fence is all broken. And they look in the field and all the sheep are all dead. So then they're looking for Fred because there's no sign of Fred at all. Then, of course, they see Fred's hat on the ground, so they walk over to it, and Valentine decides to go pick it up, and that's when we see Fred's head underneath the hat just sticking up out of the ground. And they start freaking out, being like, what the hell's going on? Is there a serial killer around here? What the hell's going on? And then they start heading back to town to Perfection, and they stop at that construction crew that they passed earlier, be like, hey, you guys gotta get out here. There's a serial killer around here somewhere. And they're like, huh? And they drive away. He's like, they're just pulling our chain. There's no big deal. And the guy goes back to jackhammering the ground. When the jackhammer goes into the ground, we see some like blood coming out of the ground and hear some screeching sounds, and then we see that jackhammer just getting ripped right through the ground and going down the road. But of course the line of it is wrapped around a guy's ankle, and he gets ripped down the road as well as he's screaming for his, you know, co-worker to help him. And then we see Valentine and Earl back at the family-run store. Valentine's going to use the phone to call the police or someone, you know, to get help to Perfection Valley, and of course the phone's dead. So then we see them getting back in the truck and heading to Bixby again to just go there directly to ask for help for the town. But of course, once they get to that construction area again, now there's a landslide across the road, and they can't get out because the road is completely covered with boulders. And of course, they both get out of the truck and they're yelling for help, or not yelling for help, but they're yelling for the construction crew, asking where they are because there's no other way out of town. And that's when Earl sees one of the hard hats on the ground with blood and like guts and brains all out. He's like, Val, get back in the goddamn truck. We gotta get out of here. And of course, Val's, you know, backing up the truck, backs into like the ledge of the rocks. And of course, he goes to drive away, but the truck is stuck. And then Earl's like, you're hung up. He's like, no, I'm not hung up. So then he's just like spinning the tires a little bit, and we just see smoke come up, and then the truck finally gets loose, and Earl's like, you know, you could break an axle like that. Val's like, could you shut up? And he's like, I don't want to spend the night out here, okay? So then they drive back to the little town store, and then everyone else comes out. He's like, I thought you'd be in Bixby by now. And then little Mindy's like, Ma, look at that. And then we find out one of the mouth snakes from the Graboid was wrapped around the axle, and it's, you know, severed, of course, by this point in time. And they go, oh, where'd you get that? He's like, I didn't know we had it. So then we see Bert with a shovel underneath the truck, you know, trying to get the mouth off of the axle, and he's like, oh, look, it's dead, it's fine, guys, it's dead. And of course we see the severed like snake on the ground, and Walter's like, I'll give you $10 for it. And he's like, 20, 15, okay, fine, 15 it is. And Bert's like, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it couldn't eat up, you know, the whole flock of sheep and what's his face. Then we see like the town doctor and his wife, you know, sitting on their tailgate of their camper, not the camper, station wagon, because they're living in the camper because they're getting ready to build a house out there in the middle of nowhere. And then the generator dies, so then the doctor's like, ah, goddamn generator. So he goes over to where the generator was, but shocking enough, the generator is gone because now it's sunken into the ground. He's like, it's gone. She's like, what do you mean it's gone? She's like, are you sure that's where it was? He's like, yeah, of course, there's a goddamn cord going in the ground. And out of nowhere, we see the generator getting shot out from a different part of the ground. They're like, I don't know what that was, but we should probably go back to the car now at this point in time. Of course, as they're walking back to the car, Jim starts to get sucked through the ground as he's screaming in pain because the Graboid is slowly starting to eat him up as he goes deeper and deeper into the ground. And then he fully gets sucked into the ground. Then his wife starts digging, and that's when we see one of the mouth snake things come out of the ground and spooks her, and she runs to the station wagon and searches the back door. And that's when we then see that mouth snake, I don't know what the technical term is, just, you know, smashing up against the black window. And then she goes to the front seat to try and drive the station wagon away, but of course she doesn't have the keys. But now we see three of those things all at different spots of the glass, so she decides to lock the doors in case they can open the handles, I guess. And then they all go away and she thinks she's fine. But then the car starts to shake a bit, and we see, you know, sand going all over the place as the back end of the car slowly starts getting sucked into the ground, which is then kind of cool shot because we see up in the sky as the headlights of the car are shooting up, and we hear the monster tremor like screaming as she's screaming as well. And then we cut back to the little store where Walter is, you know, charging people to put the snake thing around their neck as, you know, photo op I guess. And of course, you know, Bert's like, you know, those snake things coming here, we're going to be right. We're going to blow their head off. And Nancy starts freaking out because Walter apparently has a CB radio. But Walter's like, I can't use this damn CB radio because the mountains are too damn big. It's not going to do any good. And then Miguel's like, you know, Walter has some saddle horses. You know, somebody could ride the horses to Bixby and get help that way. And then they look over at Bert and Valentine's like, oh yeah, so it's gonna be us, huh? All right, I guess. And then we see them getting the horses ready, and Valentine's like, you know, these horses better be fast. We don't want to get stuck on some slow ass horses. And then Earl's like, those things can't beat these horses. And then Valentine makes a funny joke. He's like, for all you know, these things can fly, which they actually do later on in a different movie, just so you know. Then we see the guys getting ready on the horse, and then Heather and Bert show up. They're like, you guys are gonna have to pack, you know, something stronger than those little guns. How about you take this? It's pretty much an elephant gun. Then we hear some screaming as Melvin coming out of the family run store with the graboid neck thing around him. They're freaking out. And Bert's like, yeah, you're lucky, Melvin. You're going to get your face shot in if you keep that up. And then we watch Earl and Valentine ride off into the sunset, which I don't know why they're doing this when the sun's going down, because that doesn't seem like the ideal time to be doing this when there's this monster out underneath the ground. But what do I know? You see Valentine and Earl stopping at the doctor's spot. They see the camper doors open and they, you know, walking through his pre-built house that's kind of just in shambles, and like, doctor, you ready? And they can't fly him out, and Valentine's like, man, I hate this shit. And then Earl's like, hey, wait a minute, the car is gone. We just missed him, that's all. But then Valentine hears some old-timey music playing. He's like, well, where the hell does that come from? And he starts walking around, and then he kicks something in the ground. So then they start digging at the ground a little bit, and that's when we then see the license plate of the car in the headlight. And then they start running as fast as they can on the horses. I'm like, all right, we're not even going to stop. We're just going to ride like hell. We're not going to stop for a goddamn thing. And of course, the horses start getting freaked out because they hear the graboids coming out from underneath the ground. It's kind of like the snake part coming out of the mouth that hisses at them. And Earl's like, hey, wait a minute. The horses, they hear something that they don't like. Of course they do. And then Earl and Valentine both get bucked off their horses. And Valentine's like, hey, you okay? And Earl's like, yeah, what about my horse? And then we just see the horse is wrapped up with the graboid's tongue, or whatever you want to call it. And it's eating the horse, essentially. And then Valentine's like, that's how they get you. They come out from underneath the ground. And then Valentine shoots the face of the tongue part of the graboid, and then the whole ground starts to move, and Valentine's like, there must be a million of them, because the big ground starts to move, and then one of the full-size graboids come out of the ground. Earl's just like, nope, just one big one. And we see the first shot of the actual Tremor graboid itself, as its big mouth opens up, and we see three, I think, of the little snake guys coming out of the mouth, and, you know, Valentine starts shooting at it, but it doesn't do any good. So then they start running away, and then we see the graboid chasing after them, and it's destroying the fence posts that are beside them the whole time, and they keep running to the end of this field that they're in, which then has a cement wall, and they go to jump it because it's maybe it might be a drainage for water or something, and they go to jump to the next side, but they miss and they fall down inside the drainage part, and then the graboid hits that wall, and Earl's like, knocked itself out cold. And then we see a part of the wall break down, and then we just see the graboid tongue snakes falling out. We killed it, and then next thing you know, we see Rhonda at the top of the other side. It's like, hey guys, you hear any sound? Hey, actually, what's that sticking out the wall, guys? And then they pick away at the wall a little bit, and then the head pops out more, and apparently it really stinks bad. And Earl's like, does it stink that bad because it's dead? Well, I don't know, it doesn't bad if it's underneath the ground the whole time. And then Rhonda's looking at it a little bit, and he's like, I don't see any eyes. And then we see Val up on top of the other area, and he's got a shovel. He's like, hey guys, look, I found the eye sand of it, finally, we caught a big mother. And Earl's like, hey Rhonda, you ever hear about anything like this before? And Val's like, yeah Earl, everyone knows about them, we just decided not to tell you. Of course nobody knows anything about this damn thing, Earl. And of course Rhonda gets, you know, a spark in her mind, and she starts looking over here. She's like, hey guys, just to let you know, there's probably about three more of these things by looking at the charts here, so we might want to do something about this. And then Earl and Valentine start looking around. Three more, huh? Oh boy. Then as they're getting ready to walk back to Rhonda's truck, the seismograph meter or whatever starts going off, and they got up, you know, another monster around here. So they get up on the rock because they already know that apparently the rock at the safe spot. And then we see the graboid tongues coming out. It's like, hey, it's the one that caught our truck, you know, because he's ripped in half. Then we have them sitting on a rock, just contemplating life and contemplating what these things are and where they came from. Earl's like, I think they came from out of space. And then Valentine thinks that they're mutations. And then Rhonda's like, maybe they're a government experiment. And Valentine's on the edge of the rock using a 2x4, a piece of wood. He's just hitting the ground a little bit. And then, of course, it comes back up and breaks away. He's like, they're still here. Yep, they're still here. And I was like, how are they still here? How do they know we're still here? And that's when they finally figure out that the Graboids actually hunt by the sound and the, you know, the sound going through the rock and into the ground and whatnot. And that's why they know where they are at all time, even though the rock is like the safe spot for them. Now it's the next morning and they're like, so the first thing we gotta do is see if old Stumpy's out there. So Valentine's like, hey, can I borrow your shovel? Even though he's just gonna literally throw Rhonda's shovel off onto the grass or the sand, and we see Stumpy take the shovel away. He's like, well, yeah, he's still here. And then Earl's like, doesn't he have like a home or family to go back to or something? So then Rhonda has this plan. Apparently there's these pipes or poles of some sort beside the rock. She's like, we just got a pole vault from rock to rock. You know, that's easy enough to do, right, guys? Earl's first attempt at pole vaulting to the next boulder over doesn't go well, because once he jumps off the first boulder to try and pass over, he literally just falls backwards, which is, you know, kind of comedic. Then the three of them all pole vault together at the same time to Rhonda's little red, I don't know if it's like a little Ford Ranger or a little Toyota of some sort. I wasn't really paying too much attention. Actually, it's a Mazda, because we see her driving away. Rhonda's like, open up the back window and she starts the truck and she's like head first into the window driving, kind of, but really just flooring it, while Earl and Valentine are in the back because the Graboid tried to try and take the truck. And then she's like, hey, can somebody help me please? I'm kind of stuck here. And then we see the three of them meeting back up at the family run little store, being like, yeah, so not good out there at all. Big creatures, big bad creatures. And everyone in the town's kind of like questioning Rhonda, because apparently Rhonda must know about these creatures. That's why she's out here. But she knows nothing about them. And Earl's like, it doesn't matter where they came from. We just got to deal with them. And Valentine's one plan is, you know, we got to get out of this valley. This is the only way we're going to, you know, save ourselves. And then they're like, no, everyone will, you know, somebody will come save us, you know, once they see the roads blocked and the lines are down. And then we see on the opposite side of the roadblock, a worker did come to check on them or check on the road. And we just see that he's dead. And the whole time, this whole conversation going on, Walter, the guy that owns the store, has been trying to figure out a name. He actually comes up with the name Graboids for them. But Valentine's pissed off because he's like, you know, we gotta get out of this valley, because he shows them a map of everyone that's been hit. Apparently this valley is just a straight shot and they're just picking off person to person, you know, home to home, and that the town center is the next spot to be hit. We see Nancy out looking for her daughter Mindy, who's on a pogo stick, and then we see Melvin bouncing his basketball, and then the ball goes disappearing and we hear him screaming, and Earl's like, oh, I'm gonna kick that little boy's ass, I'm so tired of his bullshit, because he's always pulling pranks on people. And then they all go aside and we see Melvin's up on the like streetlight posts, and Earl's like, get your ass there. And then one of the Graboids comes through the ground up between everyone, and everyone has to scatter to different spots for safety. We see a group of them run back into the store. It's Earl, Valentine, Rhonda, Miguel, and Walter, and they're like, oh, where is he? And then we just see the floor of the store moving a little bit, and Rhonda's like, remember, no vibrations. And then they just hear Mindy on her freaking pogo stick in the middle of the road. And then we see Val just running right to Mindy, pulls her off the pogo stick, tackles her to the ground, and then we see the pogo stick getting sucked into the ground, and it gets shot out of the ground. And then Mindy and Nancy run off to a certain place, and then Val jumps on top of the truck for safety, but we see the truck getting bucked around pretty much, like he's pretty much a bull. And then Earl's watching, he's like, oh, they're gonna suck that truck right into the ground. We see the tires start to pop on the truck, and then he looks over to the side, and then we see another Graboid coming through the ground as well. And Earl runs one way, and then Rhonda runs another way, and she trips and somehow trips on some barbed wire, and then the Graboid comes underneath her and pushes her, and she rolls, and now she's like wrapped in the barbed wire now at this point in time. She's trying to get the barbed wire off her legs as the Graboid is sucking in this piece of wood into its mouth that has a barbed wire on it, and slowly pulling her closer and closer to the Graboid's mouth. And then out of nowhere comes Valentine with a pickaxe and pickaxes the Graboid in like the general head area. And then Valentine's able to get her around his pants. Well, not really, because he tells her to take off her pants so that she can get free of the barbed wire. And she does. And then another Graboid comes up out of the ground behind them. And then it's just a running chase scene of them running back into the family store. And we see like the five of them inside the family convenience store, figuring out what the plan's going to be. And then out of nowhere, the Pepsi cooler, the generator on it starts to pop on. And then they're fighting to get it away from the wall to get it unplugged. And then a Graboid comes right up through the floor and sadly grabs Walter and slowly starts to pull him through the ground as he's struggling. They're trying to save him, but there's no chance of saving him because he's half inside the mouth. And we just see him getting sucked into the ground. Then we see them all trying to make it to this hatch, the that leads up to the roof as they're climbing up the shelves of the store. And sadly, Rhonda's like climbing the middle shelves, and the Graboids actually use like the snake tongues to push over the shelves, and it's like a domino effect. And then we see Rhonda getting pushed out the glass window, and then we see Valentine rush into the roof to look down and be like, where is she? And then next thing you know, we see she's climbing the water tower. Then we see Bert and Heather showing back up to their little bundle in the middle of nowhere. Bert's like, hey, you thought they would have left some tracks after eating all those sheep. I don't know how, there's no tracks anywhere. Well, they're under the ground, that's why. And then Heather's looking at her binoculars, and she's looking at the family around the store, and she's like, wonder why everyone's on the roof. So then Bert's on the CB radio trying to radio back to Walter and everyone at the store. So then we see Val hanging off the roof with the help of Miguel and Earl, of course, as he's trying to reach through the window to pull the CB radio up to the roof. And then we see Bert in his little, like, bunker area with Heather. And Heather turns on, like, I don't know what the equipment is, but she puts ammo in, and it looks like it's also got sand, and it starts shaking, and it grabs the Graboid's attention. Miguel's like, hey, I think they're going for Bert. And then we just see them literally V-lining, or at least one of them's V-lining right for Bert's home. And Val keeps telling Bert, he's like, you gotta get on the roof. They're under the ground. And they look at the little basement window. It's like, we don't see anything. They're under the ground, Bert. What don't you understand, Bert? And then we see the tools on Bert's wall starting to shake and everything's starting to fall off. As you know, they got their guns ready, getting ready to attack. And then the Graboid head breaks through the cement boulder wall. Slab wall, whatever. And then as soon as the head comes through, you hear Bert on the radio saying, Jesus Christ! And then we hear a bunch of gunshots, and everyone else thinks Bert and Heather are dead, but surprise, they're not, because they actually killed the Graboid. I mean, at one point in time, Bert gets grabbed and starts getting dragged, but then Heather grabs like a shotgun or something and starts shooting the snake part to the point where it actually rips in two. They pretty much use every single gun and every single piece of ammo. Even they use a flare gun. And then Bert breaks the special security glass to use the elephant gun on the damn thing, which then finally does the job for them. He's like, oh, wow, that is a big thing. That looked nice on my wall, though. And then over the CB rail, and they're like, ah, we killed it. We killed that mother humper. He's like, ah, roger that, Bert. Congratulations. There is still two more, though. Two more, repeat. Then as Valentine and Earl are talking to Bert, Rhonda starts screaming at them because she's like, hey guys, Stumpy's up to something, because Stumpy's slowly starting to fill up the side of the building, because we assume that he's trying to get a size on the building so he can bring the whole building down, essentially. Then we see the store starting to move a little bit, and Earl's like, what the hell is that? And Val's like, I don't know. And then we see the Graboid moving over to Nancy's home, and the home starts to move a little bit because the Graboid's trying to pick up which house is the easiest to destroy so he can pick them off one by one. And then the next person in town that's unlucky is Nestor, because apparently he lives in a camper, and the camper starts to move, and then it tips over, and they're like, hey, you gotta get off the ground, Nestor, you gotta get off the ground. And he decides to go sit on top of a tractor tire that doesn't even have a rim in it. So they pretty much just pull him right through the tire, and we just hear him screaming as he's getting dragged through the ground and underneath Melvin's little shed that he's sitting on. Val and Earl essentially wanted Heather and Bert to use their truck to go up the 4x4 trail. But of course, now the Graboids are too smart, because they go directly to that truck and destroy the tires on it, and Heather's like, no go on that plan, huh? And then Earl's like, hey, how about the cat? You know, it's slower than hell, but it's 30 tons at least, and there's no way they can destroy 30 tons. And then they have the plan of taking the cat and then attaching the old semi-trailer that's kind of cut in half, and be like, we'll just go around and roll around, pick up everyone, and we'll be on our way. And then they realize how far away the cat is, and like, well, that's a pretty long walk, and I don't know if we're going to survive that. Then Ron is like, we need to have a, you know, decoy, something to distract them. And then Earl's like, hey, Melvin, want to make a few bucks and be a decoy? And then Miguel's like, well, what about my lawn tractor down there? We'll get it started up, and that'll be a good decoy. As Miguel is getting the lawn tractor ready, we have Earl and Valentine arguing about who's faster and going to run to the cat. Miguel starts up the lawn tractor. He's got like a piece of rope tied around it to make it go straight and keep going in gear. And the Graboids slowly start, you know, chasing after it. Earl originally won the rock, paper, scissors to run after the cat, but then Valentine like sucker punches him, saying good luck, and just runs off the roof and starts running towards the cat. But sadly, the lawnmower actually goes up this little part of ground, like a hill area, and tips over, and then the engine stalls out on it. And Val hears that the engine stopped and looks back. And they're just like, keep going. Just keep running. Just keep going. Then Rhonda yells at Val to stop running. To stay, you know, stay still, stay quiet. And he stops right in the instant. But then we see the, like, graboid snake pieces coming out of the ground. And they're looking around for him. But they can't find him at this point in time. And they get closer and closer to his feet. And he, like, lifts up one leg trying to balance. So Earl and everyone tries to, you know, yell and make enough noise to make the graboids come towards them. But that's not working. So then Rhonda decides to kick out the pipe that's on the water tower, and then the water starts gushing out, and that makes enough noise to actually distract the graboids for the time being. But now the issue is that the graboids are now at the water tower. They rip down the wooden ladder that leads up to the water tower, and they're slowly trying to pick away at the water tower itself, as we see Val, you know, finally hooking up the tanker trailer to the bulldozer, which I'm not sure how he hooked up the trailer, because the trailer, like, the front of it was pretty much in the ground, but, you know, whatever, physics, fine. And we see Valentine showing up to save the day in the bulldozer with the trailer. He picks up Rhonda first, and then the graboids, you know, start biting out the tracks, but that doesn't do anything to it, and then he just slowly drives away and goes to pick up everyone else. The whole time this is going on, we see Bert and Heather on the roof making pipe bombs the whole time, which, you know, whatever, it works, it's gonna help at least a little bit, make at least enough sound to distract the graboids, if not anything else. Then we have Earl, who's now driving the bulldozer. They stop at Bert and Heather's spot, and they're just now there for a few seconds and talking to Bert about what's going on, and the graboids actually try to start to attempt to sink the one side of the bulldozer, and like, see Bert, the damn things are getting smarter each time, they're trying to sink us every time we stop. We gotta get going now, so start loading up your stuff so we can leave, please. We see them still driving through the desert, and somehow Bert's on the bucket of the bulldozer and be like, yeah, I saw it rock that way. And they're like, hey, have we seen them at all? And Miguel's like, no, I just think they disappeared. But then we see puffs of smoke going all up in different spots. And like, well, what the hell are they doing over there? And pretty much setting up a trap for them, of course, because the bulldozer's going forward. And then somehow they had enough dirt on the front of the, like, the top of the ground that the bulldozer fell through a hole, because now they're setting up booby traps of some sort. So the entire bulldozer falls into this hole, and everyone has to go back into the semi-trailer, and they start just unloading into the ground, because now the graboids are at the back of the tires of the trailer, and, you know, Earl and Valentine are hoping that their little pistols are going to shoot through the ground, even though an elephant gun wasn't doing any good through the ground. So then Bert throws over one of his pipe bombs. He's like, hey, you guys eat this! And Rhonda's like, so, Bert, do you have any more of those bombs? He's like, yeah, plenty, don't worry. So they had the plan of, you know, throwing a bomb one way to distract the graboids one direction, and then running the opposite direction and hopefully making it to rocks in time. And Melvin starts freaking out. He's like, I can't run that fast, or too fast. And then Bert's like, here, Melvin, take this revolver. This will keep you safe. And he's like, all right, I'll run. So they throw a bomb. It actually scares off the graboid. The graboid's starting to go the opposite direction. So then everyone jumps out of the semi-trailer and slowly starts to run towards the rocks. But then we see, like, the smoke pattern moving a little bit. And Melvin tries to shoot his gun, but nothing happens because the gun's empty, of course. And Melvin goes over to Bert once again on the rocks. He's like, Bert, you asshole, there's no bullets in these guns, or this gun. He's like, I got you moving, didn't it? And then we see them all stuck on the rock, and they're like, I don't know what to do at this point in time. They're just going to outwait us until we die. And then Bert's like, wait a minute, you two jerk-offs brought us out here to the middle of nowhere when we could have had a standoff at our home because we had food and water. And we see them all just sitting on the rock, getting pretty tired. And Bert's like, so I know what's happening when starvation hits me. I'm gonna light one of these, walk out there, and I'm just gonna let them eat me. And let it go boom. Which then gives Earl the idea. He's like, yeah, that's actually not too bad of an idea. Let's go do some fishing. Because then we see Val and Rhonda throwing rocks off into the desert a little bit. That way, it grabs the graboid's attention. And then we see Bert, you know, tying one of the bombs to a rope, and Earl apparently being a good horse wrangler or something, using it like a lasso and literally throwing it out to the desert to try and lure the graboid into grabbing it before it blows up. That way it will, you know, the graboid will grab it and suck it into his, you know, face, and that'll blow up inside of him. And luckily it actually works on the very first try, and one of the graboids takes it and sucks it in, and then we see it blowing up and the guts going all over the place. So now they try doing it on the last one, but the last one's a little bit smarter than the other one. Or at least he's catching on because he saw what just happened to his family member. And of course, the last one is Stumpy, of course. So Val's like, ah, this one's mine. So he does the little lasso fishing technique. And Stumpy, you know, starts playing around with it. But then Stumpy decides to shoot the bomb back at them. So then everyone has to scatter off of the rock. And of course, this bomb that's attached to the rope lands in the pile of other bombs that are in the duffel bag. And everything just goes up in smoke. But of course, you know, some of them are still stuck on the other side of the rock. But then you have Rhonda and Earl and Valentine who are off on the desert. desert. And Bert's like, what are you guys doing out there? We see Earl and Valentine running back to the rock where everyone else is. But then the Graboid literally pops up on the ground in front of them. And they're like, okay, we'll just stay here, actually. Everyone on the rock's making like a bunch of noise for distraction. And we see the Graboid slowly sinking back into the ground. And Earl starts to walk a little bit. And then Val softly, hey, this guy's not as stupid as the other one. He's trying to lure us in. So how about we just stay right here? We got one bomb left. So then Val's like, this damn bastard's not smarter than us. I'm gonna go for it. So then Val starts running. The Graboid pops up out of the ground right beside Earl. So Earl starts running after Val. It's like, what's your plan? What the hell's going on here? Then Rhonda starts running after them as well, because apparently she's the one with the lighter in her pocket. And they start running to like this cliff edge. And then they light the bomb and they throw the bomb. And Earl is pissed off because Val throws the bomb and the bomb lands behind the Graboid. But he actually does that as a tactic, because once the bomb blows up, it actually scares the Graboid. And the Graboid shoots straight faster and goes right through the cliff and falls all the way down to the bottom of the cliff and pretty much explodes on impact. And everyone's happy and joyful because, you know, the last Graboid is dead now. And then we see them back in perfection, put new tires on the truck, being like, ah, we're going to head out. We're going to make some real money, work with some real people. We're going to be fine. Everything's going to be better. We're going to get the hell out of this town. Then we see Rhonda coming over and asking for a picture with them, you know, taking a picture before they get ready to head out. We see Earl pretending to work on the engine of the truck. And, you know, they have this like awkward, you know, goodbye between Val and Rhonda, as, you know, Val's like ripping off the pictures of all the other girls he's been with off of his visor. Be like, oh yeah, hey, been a good time, and, you know, good for you for, you know, being on the head of the research for this new, you know, monster creature we found, and you know, it's good seeing you. And then Val runs after Rhonda. She's walking back to her truck to leave, and then, you know, they have a little makeout session, the credits roll, and that's the end of the movie. And I gotta say, you know, on the Rotten scale, I really enjoy this movie a lot. I think it's got a great cast, and I think it's got great pacing. I love the creature effects. I love the action in it. Yeah, it's just a great movie. And on the Rotten scale, I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. I definitely highly recommend watching it and checking it out. To be fair, now, I usually don't do a first place, like a first movie and a second movie, but for next week, we're actually going to watch Tremors 2 and see how that holds up compared to the first one, because I'm pretty sure probably the first one is probably the best one in the series. I don't remember any of the newer ones within like the last 5 years or whatever it might be, but yeah, we're going to watch Tremors 2 next. And is that, I don't even know what that one's called, to be honest with you. I'm not even going to guess what that name is called, but yeah, we're going to watch Tremors 2 for the next episode, so it should be fun. So, and then at the end of that, we'll kind of compare the two and see how they match up together with, you know, the action, the comedy aspect. I think the second one's more of a serious take, but I can't really remember. So I'm looking forward to watching that as well. Out of all of them in the whole series, I've seen the first one the most. I might have seen Shrieker Island once or twice at a friend's house. I'm not really too sure on that one, though. I think I've seen it at least once, though. The second one, I've seen, I think, a couple times. And after that, they're all blurry and all mixed together, and I really don't know. So it should be a fun one. And as always, at the end of the episode, I'd like to just shout out the outro band. Go check them out. Their links will be down in the description below. Find them on all social media accounts at like Instagram, Spotify, SoundCloud, Facebook, pretty much anywhere and everywhere. Check out the Etsy shop as well. But it's Toronto-based horror band Blood Opera. They have a new album out now. I'll probably have some of the new music hopefully at the end of this episode. I'm not sure yet, but we'll see. And also check out my social media links down below as well. You can find me on anything at Typhonstein, Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok. The main thing we have, though, is the YouTube channel. Definitely go check that out. Been doing a lot of live streams. We have shorts up there as well. We have the weekly game view and old episodes of the podcast, so definitely go check that out. We have the community post as well. And like I said earlier, I'll also have this link down below. If you guys want to check out W Energy, if you find something you want to try, make sure to use the promo code at checkout, Rotten Reviews, to save 10% off your order. And, you know, it saves you a little bit of money, gives me a little bit of something. Definitely go check it out.
Pretty good stuff, and I recommend it. And I'm not just saying that because it's my first sponsor. We're just, you know, we're saying it because I use it. I drink it. Hopefully you guys will too. And until next time, I'll talk to you guys all later. Peace.